Good morning. My name is Murali Basham. I'm a partner with the law firm of Basham Spiro, and I'm here with Amy Coates, who's a senior counsel with our firm.
Good morning, everybody.
And we handle corporate and family immigration law in all 50 states and around the world. And Amy and I are here today to discuss the road to citizenship.
Today we're going to go through just the basics of citizenship, really, what the benefits are, the requirements for most folks, the English and civics test, that we get a lot of questions on that, and also just general application, interview, and oath procedures. The basic application procedures, this is the form number and the website there where you can access the form and the instructions. The application fee is $680.
And that changes from time to time, right?
Yeah, well, it just went up $5 this fall.
That's a big change.
Well, it's better than some of the other fees. They went up a lot more. But the filing location, I believe they're down to two different filing locations now. It depends on your state, but it's on the form instructions. Our processing time at our local office, which is the Raleigh-Durham office, is about 5 months. And this is, according to the Immigration Services website, this is also their national goal and the average at this time.
And it tends to go faster closer to election time, right, Amy?
I don't know. That's what people say. I'm not sure I've ever believed that. The interview is very straightforward, in my opinion. They literally start at the beginning of the application, ask you every single question straight through it, checking off your answers with a red pen as they go through it. They're definitely going to want to see your green card, your driver's license, and they ask to see your passport. And you know, let's say you have a criminal conviction or something like that, or documentation that you registered for selective service. They're going to want to see those things. They'll give the English and the civics test, and then if they're comfortable with your case and that officer is going to recommend approval, they will forward it to a second officer to sign off on the case. And usually that's done while you're there waiting. When the interview's over and it's time for you to leave, you know, you should at least have a recommended approval in your hand. And probably you're also going to have the oath notice, which is going to tell you the day and time that you return. Sometimes they're not able to do it that day, though, and you get the oath notice in the mail. Now, if they need something else from you, then they're not going to approve your case that day or give you a recommended approval. Instead, they're going to ask you to mail in the evidence or to come back on another day and submit the evidence requested.
Amy, we get this question sometimes, which is on the N-400 form where you are required to list all your trips for the last 5 years or so. What if you take a number of trips back and forth to Canada, and you really don't have that evidence of it, you can't remember exactly the date of each trip?
Right. Well, I'm working on a case right now for a gentleman who lived in California, and he went to Mexico a lot on the weekends, but he also went to Canada. And so what we're going to type on the application is, you know, from the years, and I'm just making this up because I don't know the years, but from the years 1995 to the year 2000, I resided in, I believe it was like San Francisco, California. During that time period, I frequently visited my friends in, you know, Vancouver, Canada, and also routinely traveled to Mexico for vacation. I do not remember the exact dates and times of these trips. Something like that, an explanation, whatever it is that particular person. Now, since the Immigration Services requiring passports, I mean, it used to be that you didn't have to, you know, show a passport. There may be a little bit more documentation. But I still don't think they're stamping those. So it's a case-by-case basis. So when you go back for your oath ceremony, you have to turn in your green card on that day. There is a little questionnaire on the back of the oath notice. I mean, once you get your oath notice, you'll read it and you'll see what I mean. But basically, they just want to make sure you haven't been arrested for anything between the time of your entry and the oath, and that you haven't gotten divorced or nothing major has changed in your life since then. So you fill that little questionnaire out, take your oath notice to the ceremony. You go through the ceremony. Usually you can take a guest and even cameras, which, you know, normally you can't take anyone into the Immigration Services office or cameras unless it's for something like this. You're going to leave that day with your naturalization certificate, and you can immediately apply for a U.S. passport.
Key point is, once you've taken your oath and become a citizen, you cannot just then take off and travel with your old nationality passport.
No, I mean, not unless you're a dual citizen of that country. I mean, you have to be really careful there. But, you know, for example, if you if you're a citizen of India and you get your U.S. citizenship, you can't use your passport for India anymore. And there's a whole procedure you have to go through that they explain pretty well on the Embassy of India's website as far as relinquishing your Indian passport. And you have to do that before you get the appropriate travel documents to return home if you want to make a visit. This is the point that we talked about in the beginning of the presentation, that if you do have children that are under 18 that are living with you and in your custody and legal and physical custody, they're already green card holders, they're automatically U.S. citizens. And you can apply for a passport for them at the same time you apply for one yourself. You can also apply for a certificate of citizenship. I don't know, I have mixed feelings about this. If I was the child, I would probably want every document I could possibly have to show that I'm a U.S. citizen. But on the other hand, a certificate of citizenship, you can't travel with it. You can't even use it to get a job and to prove you're U.S. citizen. They took that off the list of documents.
On the I-9, right?
Yes. So I'm not even sure how helpful that is anymore. I would get a U.S. passport first. And then at that point, you can file petitions for, you know, other relatives.
Please do feel free to contact either me or Amy. Our email addresses and telephone number is on your screen right now. I do encourage you to visit our media library and do connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. We will have a webinar coming up next month on what to do about changing jobs during your permanent residency process and how that impacts the process. Thanks, everyone, for joining in today. We hope you have a great day.
Thank you.